Blog Talk Radio.
Many of the letters of the Bible
decrees that go unnoticed. And within these letters of the Bible, they tell a lot of truth. Because as we have learned in our journey, the Bible is nothing but an account of the attack of the matriarchal systems that once ran the world, and especially our motherland and all across the planet. The matriarchal systems. What is the matriarchal systems? We're going to also go into the Vivian Hunter.
Oh, you know, we going into Vivian Hunter, but you can call her Mama Zogby of the Sybil's Peace and Power family. We are so happy to be here on this Sunday morning, and we're going to be doing something every other Sunday. We're going to see how this goes and see how it picks up. We like to get in there when it comes to religion, Christianity, Judaism, Buddha, Islam, and go into this book of the Bible, as they call it, like we believe no other, you know, because they always give you a patriarchal spin no matter what. We're coming to bring you the matriarchal truth of what it is, not a spin, the truth of how the great mother and her many, many, many attributes have been stolen, covered up, and also omitted and tried to be wiped out. However, her children are awakening. Trust me, there are children of the great mother and there are children of the patriarchs. And we're going to do some good, we're going to have a good discussion here, I want to say, this early afternoon. We might get a chance to go into the Book of Lamentations a little bit as well. So we just want to bring this because when you, like Ski said, a lot of things go unnoticed. They go not talked about. For many of us who've come out of Christianity and never really got into the book, that as you get older, you become wiser, right? You obtain knowledge as you move on, and you start to look at things different, and you start to do more research. And I know that's what we did before we denounced Christianity, because it wasn't like, okay, Christianity is not real. This is what we've been brought up all our lives. How now all of a sudden we're getting this information, that information, researching things. You know, the ancestors leading us to where we need to go to obtain the knowledge as well. And most of the time, that's right within. So when you look at these things from a different standpoint now than what we did maybe, 10 years ago, maybe 15 years ago, you really can see that the Bible is just a pure takeover of the culture of great African people and their doctrines of the great Sybils, of the great feminine. You know, in the Bible, you do not find priestess not one time. Primarily, you're going to see priest, a lot of he, a lot of his, a lot of wrath, a lot of evil, as far as I'm concerned, as far as we're concerned here in New Black Order. And you see a lot of these atrocities, as we call them, being taken out against the ancient ones, our ancestors. You see a lot of takeover. You see a lot of rewriting. You see things that should be there, but they're not. A lot of contradicting in this book. And so, when you look at this book, it's a takeover of the African people and their religions. Or their spirituality, we're going to say that, their spirituality practices.
Yes, because we are a spiritual creation. We are going through a human experience. And within this experience, what would make it such a beautiful one if we really unlock that we are spiritual before religious. And if we really pay attention to this and see that all religions have been on the planet in this common time that we're living in this reality. And none of them have done too much of any good. I have seen many, many wars, many calamities, many rapes, many just the societies of the world have not benefited from religion. And by seeing that, it would give one a mind to question, why are we so trapped within the religion? Why is it so pushed upon us? And it's pushed upon us to keep us in this perpetual downward spin as spirits living this human experience. It's all set up to keep the spirit binded, keep the spirit trapped, keep the spirit from flourishing and becoming anew. And when we come into these truths of Mama, because Mama is all, it's so invigorating and does something to you when you see the patriarchal takeover that the Bible represents.
Mm-hmm.
When you see the attack of the feminine and to put the feminine energy in a certain place within all religions,
mm-hmm.
you can see why. And these books give you an account. If you look past all the BS they gave as far as religion,
mm-hmm.
but if you really look at this with the eye of a detective, you can see Mama.
Oh, you can see Mama plain as the day. I mean, even how they name things. So we're going to go right into the Book of Nahum, just to give us a outline of what we're going to be going into, you know. A pronouncement against Nivina, the book of the vision of Nahum. See, this is where you got to go into the book. You got to really be into it, have the third eye open, and you got to see what's going on with this. So, a pronouncement against Nivea, the book of the vision of Nahum. Now, this is the vision of a priestess or a priest. This is a vision. But have what we have been taught when you speaking and breaking down these terms in the Bible, you have to go in with your esoteric mind because they cover up things.
And also a pronouncement is a formal or authoritative announcement of declaration. As we said, the whole book of the Bible is war. It is either they're going into war or they're coming out of war. They're talking to people who have been overtaken by war, and now you will see Jehovah come in. And he is one of the first names of God come to the foreigners. There's many other ones. But he is one that really dominates with fury within this book.
Jehovah is the thunder god of the Hebrews and the Jews, the faithfuls. I had to say it. It's a male patriarchal evil Jew.
So when we see within the book, as you read in Nahum, it says a pronouncement. And that is an authoritative announcement or declaration. You know, a lot of politicians and countries use these terms.
Oh, yes. Excellent breakdown, King. Excellent. So it says, Jehovah is God who requires exclusive devotion and takes vengeance. Jehovah takes vengeance and is ready to express his wrath. Jehovah takes vengeance against his foes. Oh, they made sure they said that a few times about the vengeance. And he stores up wrath for his enemies. So I'm going to stop right there just a little bit. I want to know what is Jehovah at that stores up this wrath for the enemies. Who does this Jehovah belong to? And who does this Jehovah work for? Because African people, black people, people of melanin all around this planet has had religion forced upon them, taken out of their natural state of how they used to worship and what they gave, who they gave their praises unto and who protected them and honored them. So who is this, who Jehovah protecting now? I just got to speak up for the indigenous, the aborigines, the original blacks of this planet, of this earth, that who is our protector, which many of us have come in into the knowledge and knowing that we know now that it is our mother, our earthly mothers, our earthly fathers, so on and so forth, the protection from our ancestors, the guidance of our ancestors, those who came before us, those spiritual elders who has given us strength and who has shown us the way. This is where we start now to give our you know, giving our, paying homage to and giving up our libations for and asking for their protection. And because, as you can see, this Jehovah has done nothing for us but been against us. And definitely matriarchal rule, as they say, or matriarchal practices, a matriarchal spiritual system of sibyls, prophetesses, you know. When you look at that and see that this Jehovah takes vengeance against his foes, well, in this book, you know who the foes are. It is those who are of a melanated tone, those who practice what they consider pagan rituals, those who gave up homage unto the great mother, the matrilineal systems. And so that is what that is about. So, King, you want to expound a little bit more on that? You want me to continue? Okay. Like I said, we are in Nahum chapter 1. I'm going to verse 3. Jehovah is slow to anger and great in power, but by no means will Jehovah hold back due punishment. His path is in destructive wind and storm. To me, sound like Oya to me, or the Orisha. The Orisha. And the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebukes the sea, and he dries it up, and he makes all the rivers run dry. Bashan and Carmel wither, and the blossoms of the Lebanon wither. So you already know Bashan, Carmel, Lebanon, those are places what they consider the Middle East. But as Mama Zogby teaches us in her book, The Sibyls, the First Prophetess of Mamiwata, The Theft of African Prophecy by the Catholic Church, she teaches us that Africa was the world. The world. We were just not relegated to Africa, but we were everywhere dark-skinned people were, and we had matriarchal practices. So you just think of, most people say not all of Africa was, but according to Mama Zabi, the feminine approach, huh? Not the patriarchal. She says it was all of Africa. Damn near most of all, some parts in Europe, wherever we settled at, wherever we were, in Spain, where we already know the Moors was at for what was the king? 800 years. So it's just in certain time periods, you already know where we were already there. Wherever white folks popped up at, we was there already. They couldn't understand. So we already know those are different little places in the, you know, so this is how they kind of throw you off. They keep things anonymous as well. They'll put things in. As Mama Zabi will say, too, that things that they took from the prophetess of Mamiwata, the great sibyls, some things they kept in the book and decided to put into this book, some things that they did not understand, they omitted them or kept them out. Not saying that they don't have them, but they kept them out of certain books. And so, mountains quake because of him, and the mills melt. The earth will be in an upheaval because of his face, along with the land and all those dwelling in it. So it goes on to say in verse 6, who can stand before his indignation? And who can withstand the heat of his anger? His wrath will be poured out like fire. Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Go ahead, King.
So this is an army coming. This is a general speaking. This is a king sending his emissaries into Nahum to tell them this is what's going to happen. This is what's going down.
No. Not Nahum, honey.
They're in El-Kash. He's coming into El-Kash, and he's telling
Nahum
that this is what is fit to happen to y'all. Because as you read in books prior, it had already happened to every other region within Africa. If you go to prior books within the Bible, especially through Jeremiah, Micah, and the book of Hosea, and also the book of Lamentations, these things were already happening in those regions. Because as they said, they sent out the 12 disciples, and they went to different regions. But where did they go? They went into Africa. They went into the place where they said Jesus disappeared for like 12 years. the so-called mythical figure of Jesus, but they said he was taught in all the ancient mystics of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
And so, upon going through this book and seeing the timeline of this book, they would go into different regions where blacks were at who had not adhered to this new form of patriarchal Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And so they will come into these lands and they will say, well, this God is coming. He's going to do this. He's going to bring pestilence. He's going to bring famine. He's going to bring war. And the way you do those things, he's going to make the mountain shake. You come with armies and you come to disarm and take over.
Oh, yes, I love that. It's a good breakdown. It resonates so well with us because this is what they do now today.
Some would say America could be a god because it's the same what America does. It comes in, it takes over, it shakes the ground when they come. Can you imagine some of those people who live over in what they call the Middle Eastern countries? Hearing the tanks coming in, hearing a fleet of planes flying in, it shakes the earth, it rumbles the ground. That is armies. That is Jehovah. That is Allah. That is the God of wars. Man.
The thunder God, Zeus.
In this patriarchal system.
That's right.
So we'll continue within this book to just show even more of the calamities that they will say they will bring down upon these people.
Ain't that the truth? It's what they did too. Now it says, now we're going to verse 7. Chapter 1, Jehovah is good, a stronghold in the day of distress. He is mindful of those seeking refuge in him. That reminds me of someone coming into your land, telling you, like we watched the movie 300, that's what I'm going to use. When Xerxes people went into the Spartans and said unto them, hey, if you join Xerxes is a god king. He's a kind God. He's a loving God. And if you just bow down to him at his feet, he'll be merciful on you.
Xerxes was a man. And as we all know, God means mighty man.
Come on.
God does not mean this mythical white dude sitting up in the heavens with a beard made of clouds, causing the earth, back in the day, they used to say God up there bowling when the storms would come. Or God is angry with someone, and this. No, that's Mama Nature. Once again, negating Mama Nature. And you also see this negate with the Holy Spirit within the Bible, because that's Mama as well. She's a ghost. We don't really talk about ghosts. And that is another way they hide the feminine energy. But when we see, as we equate this, because that's the best equation we can give you so you can go see, is Xerxes.
Uh-huh.
And Leonidas, when they had their meeting, when they had their talk, and he told Leonidas, I am a kind guy. I'm a generous guy. I give to those who submit to my will. That shows you right there that God is not this omnipotent figure that no one can see and this and this. God is man. It's like God is his woman. God is mighty man. God is his mighty woman. But what are you mighty for? What are your convictions? What is your intent? What is your heart? And as we see with Xerxes and many other gods of the ancient world, that their hearts and their desires were to conquer and destroy and to bring pestilence and rulership and dominion over those who they felt were not of them, or of their class, or of their stature, or of their family, or crest, or set, or lineage. So that is what we are breaking down today within the books of the Bible. Because as we said, the book of Nahum, the book of Hosea, the book of Lamentations, all of these books have the people saying unto this great God of war, why? What have we done to bring forth such wrath? And you can fast forward that today to us here in the Americas and all over the Americas, South America, all over. What have we done to warrant such wrath from this so-called God? And as we right now know, that is the white man. That is society. That is this patriarchal dominance that has been infused upon the globe for quite some time now.
Oh, infused upon the globe, as we do know, as we see today, patriarchal dominance that people ignore or, you know, just look it over. Oh, that's how men are. Oh, that's how the way the world is. No, it's not. Oh, that's the will of God. That is not true. It is the will of us to change it. That's the will. We can will real truth. And so I'm going to go in just a little bit more before we take a break and come right back to this the book of Nahum. So Ski just broke down some good things. He really did. He went into that. So we can definitely go back and look at that movie 300 and see Xerxes offer his, call himself a God king and call himself generous. So, verse 8, with his sweeping flood, he will make a complete extermination of her place, and darkness will pursue his enemies. What will you plot against Jehovah? He is causing a complete extermination. Distress will not arise a second time. Verse 10. For they are interwoven like thorns, and they are like those drunk with beer, but they will be consumed like dry stubble. So, why would they say in verse 8, with the sweeping flood, he will make a complete extermination of her place? What is her place? Those places that we just touched on.
Many places.
Many places. You know, that's just a few. So as it goes on to verse 11, and then I'm going to go over to chapter 3 after the break. From you will come one who plots evil against Jehovah, giving worthless advice.
That's what they consider.
We call it a fail-safe. So, Ski, I want you to break that down for them.
Oh, yes, it is many fail-safes within the Bible that talk about us. Many of us, y'all on the line, and those who come, who will talk against this garbage that we have been seeing, these fallacies, the lies of the Bible, the lies of religion. And they have many fail-safes within this book to keep people from entertaining or even, I would say, looking at those people as sources of knowledge that they can gain something new from. All those people are demonized. We are demonized. We are ostracized. We are looked at as weird because most of society is dominated by religion. In God we trust. Mighty man. So who we are is total opposite of what they are. And that's why we do what we do. And as Tisha stated, he is going to come through and destroy all of her possessions.
Even her children.
We're going to go into the laws of Maat and talk about that a little bit more. So I'm going to let the goddess go into a little bit more before we go to the song.
I'll be happy to do so. Verse 13. And now I will break his yoke bar from off you, and I will tear your bonds in two. Jehovah has commanded concerning you. Your name will not be perpetuated further. I will do away with the carved images and metal statues from the house of your gods. I will make a grave for you because you are contemptible. Why would
a God, with a God who's all-powerful, all-knowing, created the heavens and earth, come down upon a people like this, say, I will take your gods? So we know now that those gods are men that our people uplifted. You know, we always uplift our good ones, our great ones. We are to uplift each other. But you will notice they will admit the goddesses because no spiritual or religious. That's why religion is empty, because it does not have the goddess. It does not have the feminine force behind it. And by them scripting the gods, as he said, it shows a disdain of patriarchal hate. And as we know, when most kings come in to any region, they're going to kill the men and kill the old and keep the women for concubines to make slaves and so forth. So this is very deep what we will see with this Bible and many of his books, and wonder why the pastor and the preachers ain't talking this in the mega churches.
And that is why I want to touch on the carved images. Now, they come into the lands of our ancestors, of our greats, and tell them to get rid of their carved images of their loved ones, their ancestors, their deities, which were mainly women. You know, however, they got images. Jesus on the cross itself, they money, their images on their money.
The Jews have many images.
The Jews have many images.
All type of stuff they have. So we will see a total two-facedness. We're going to make y'all remove y'all stuff, but we're going to keep our stuff. And also, we're going to keep y'all good stuff.
Yeah, turn it out.
We're going to put evil intent on y'all good stuff. We're going to take that eye. We're going to take those pyramids. We're going to take the Horemates. We're going to take all those things that y'all revere. And some of the things we can't touch, such things as the astral pole and some things like that, some things they cannot touch. But the things they could touch, they took. And one of the main things they took is in Rome. And it's sitting right in, I think, the middle of Rome. It's the sacerdotal seat of power, and we know that to be the mother. That is the great mother seat. They took it out of Africa.
They
took it all the way to Rome.
They took it in the middle of it. And they used that as the papal seat of the Pope.
The Pope sitting on the throne of the mama.
That's right.
This is what we're talking about, the destruction and the ostracization.
We want it back.
And we're talking about the hate and the despise that woman has from religion. She gets all this because religion hates her, her very being. But her very being is feminine, is divine. It is the link to mama. Mama is all. And right now we're going to talk to Jesus. We're going to talk to Jesus, and we'll be right back.
I told Jesus.
Damn.
Be all right.
Been praying for you all my
be
life.
All
don't know what more
right.
I can do, yo. Tired. Straight up.
Be
Heavenly
right.
Father. Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Man, fuck that, you ain't coming back. Yo, Jesus, man, that's fucked up. To leave us suffering and singing for you, you seem stuck up. Cause all we do is praise your name and pass around these plates. And every Sunday I'm in your house, I never see your face. Damn, that's how our Father treats his children. Thought I was supposed to feel so good when I walked up in this building. A crack scene. Mama, alcoholic, grandpappy, little brother, old riddle, and hair on sniffing daddy. And just to keep praying to you was supposed to keep us happy. My ancestors raising torches, these crackers wanna clap me. And if we don't end up dead, they want a nigga sassy. That's one of your forbidden laws. Yo, these crackers shipping, Lord. Almighty and all powerful, alrighty then. Fuck them telling me that I'm born into a life of sin. So now the mic's my friend, I use it to enlighten my kin and warn them of these false prophets and these unrighteous men.
Ain't shit, I
be alright.
Everything been fucked up since we've been calling that
be
name, man.
Alright.
It's our turn now. RBG's up worldwide. QCRBG's, African Wild Dogs. Yeah, man, this some bullshit. All the years of lies that's been spilling out the bullpit. Had to grow up quick, had to get a full grip. If the weather's around, still kill 'em dead. We woke up now, motherfucker, you heard what I
be alive for the good. I'm like, fuck it. It don't even matter. See God.
Assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum salam. I pray 5 times a day, so ain't got no job. Got a pass due, rent bills due tomorrow. Pop said, son, chill, just trust in Allah. Read the Quran, make it Salah. Stay humble, everything will be alright. But I gotta eat tonight, damn it, can't sleep tonight. I'ma God, you see the light. Nigga better believe the hype. Get baptized with this beating mic. They lying to you, the pastor and the priest's wife. How you praying to Jesus? And we all know that Jesus white. It ain't no secrets, I'm a non-believer. The only God is a head through my fucking speakers. See God I trust, and no one else. You don't find God, but first you gotta find yourself.
Jesus, especially on New Black Order, we're going to make it be all right. Oh, those brothers right there, them brothers out the QC, that's Brother Rocker, Brother C-God, and Brother V. Massamusa. Powerful track, mm-hmm. Powerful track, and it went right with this show. Jesus is going to be all right because we have waking up, we have broken that hold, and we back spiritual. We back in tune with what we are, the spiritual creation of the great mama of creation. So once again, we thank all of y'all for joining us. As you heard in that song, the sirens, those queens screaming. Them queens were screaming in there, them sirens. But that's letting them know. And y'all know what them sirens are if you are in tune with the goddess work. Gotta let the call go. So once again, this is a live call-in show. We thank all of y'all for tuning in. We're going to continue with the breakdown of the evils of the Bible revealed.
Yes, indeed, the evils of the Bible revealed. Live call-in show, 718-506-1960. Tell your friends and family that we are on the line. Now we black and tuned. Okay, now I said I was going to go to 3, but I looked over. I said, no, I got to remember what I marked. We're going to finish off chapter 1 with verse 15, and we got to skip right into 2. Look, on the mountains are the feet of the one bringing good news, the one proclaiming peace. Celebrate your festivals. O Judah, pay your vows, for the worthless one will never pass through you again. So Judah, as we all know, the land of Judah, you know, that's the lions, and we know where lions and lioness dwell, Africa. He will utterly be destroyed.
And we're going to switch that to she. She will utterly be destroyed. The worthless one will no longer come. That is the mama. This is the kings. This is the warriors. The generals coming. This God is gonna give you this. Look at this. You ain't got all that's done. You hear me? She will never come in your midst again. And if she do, we'll kill you. And we'll fast forward and to Jeremiah to give you a true depiction of that's what they did. But continue.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes. So, I really like us breaking down this book and putting to it just coming from the Sibyls, the first prophets, and then our own studies and the ancestors who back us and what we bring, because this really helps us look at this book in a new light.
In all
religions. So we're going to go down here to chapter 2 of Nahum. And I want to tell everyone know that they do change the books up a lot. We're coming from the New World Translation of the Holy Scriptures, that is of the Jehovah Witnesses. We chose the Jehovah Witnesses because they are not like Christians, Baptists. They are not like other religious sects as far as all that other hooping and hollering and all that other stuff. They really teach you to get into the book, right? But see, when we sat with them and they taught us to get into the book, they didn't know they were dealing with some people who was going to have their third eye wide open when we get into this book and break it down and compare and contrast. So we're going into chapter 2. One who scatters has come up against you. Guard the fortifications. Keep watch over the road. Brace yourselves and muster all strength. Me being an oracle and knowing the practice of the goddess work and stepping into my divine feminine, I can see right there that is definitely something from an oracle. That's a scripture. That is a forewarning, letting people know to get themselves together and guard themselves. So, for Jehovah will restore the pride of Jacob. This is how they throw that patriarchal talk in, along with the pride of Israel, for the devastation, the devastators have devastated them.
They restore.
Yes.
That's because they destroyed it. When they say restore, Jehovah will restore. So this is the army coming in. Okay, well, we done ravaged everything. We done tore everything up. It was a good fight, but you lost, and you lost horribly. But we will restore the tribes of Judah. We will restore your lands. We will restore Israel to greatness.
Why they're pushing the Palestinians out of Israel, because they wanted it. They took it in the 40s, and they made sure they fulfilled that prophecy of the Hebrews in this book. See, this is why you got to watch them. This is the stuff they do. It's a spiritual warfare more than anything. This is a spiritual warfare against us, and it's been going on for a long time. So as we continue, for the devastators have devastated them, and they have ruined their shoots. The shields of his mighty men are dyed red. His warriors are dressed in crimson. The iron fittings of his war chariots flash like fire in the day he prepares for battle. And the juniper spears are brandished. The war chariots race madly through the streets. So that's just an account of them going through with the torches and burning the shrines and the temples, and they're describing this as flashing lightning. He will summon his officers. They will stumble as they advance. They rush to her wall. Now, this was the part I was waiting to get to. They rush to her wall. They set up the barricade. The gates of the rivers will be open, and the palace will be dissolved. This is deep. It has been decreed. She is exposed. She is carried away, and her slave girls moan. They sound like doves as they beat their breasts. Throughout her days, Naiva was like a pool of waters. I'm going to stop right there. They said they sound like doves. Just to let you know, the Sibyls, the first prophetess of Mamiwata, by Mama Zugabi, the theft of African prophecy by the Catholic Church, the great oracles, the great symbols of the great mother were and are known as the black dove, not the white, the black bird. And the black dove, any black bird symbolizes the black mother. Of the,
almost any bird as well. But this white bird, because white is right and black is wrong. So they place, this is all suggestion that they place upon you with fear of going to hell and burning. So we have been looking at this white dove as the most purest thing. And when you see the black dove, evil is coming. But no, when you see that black dove, mama is coming. That's why they're talking so harshly upon her, because it took them so long to conquer her.
Yes. So long. This, Mama Zabi says, we don't even know how long this went on. Well, we can date and look at through the research and see that it was a final war in what it was, I think it was 1000 A.D., when I think it was England and Spain and all of them really started to go in with the Crusades and travel around the globe and start to call themselves cleansing the lands of the pagans. And so we do know that this started, oh my goodness, we can't even understand, can't even fathom how long ago this started. We know it's thousands and thousands upon years ago. This is why it's so set in mold today. This is not something that happened overnight. So, as we go on, we're going to continue here with verse 6. No, not verse 6, I'm sorry. Verse 8. Throughout her days, Naiva was like a pool of waters, but now they are fleeing. Stand still, stand still. But no one is turning back. Plunder silver, plunder gold. There is no end to the treasures. It is stocked with all sorts of precious things. The city is empty, desolate, devastated. Their hearts melt in fear. Their knees buckle. Their hips tremble. All their faces are flushed. That is the people fleeing, leaving everything. As we do know from the greats, that we've learned from, that our ancestors did have to flee. We learned this from Sheikh Ansa Diop, Ivan Van Sertima, Dr. Clark, Leonard Jeffries, so many others, just stood Dungy Houston, that the ancestors would have to leave, take with them what they had and leave what is there. So, yes, they plundered silver, they plundered gold. The treasure was to no end. That's how they were. Even in it's documented when they went out and when Spain went out to conquer over here in the Americas first, that they were all looking for gold and silver and things of that nature. And they found more wealth than they ever could imagine. It was the people. It was the land. Yes, they found gold. They sure did. Black gold. You know, yes, this is deep. So, you know, the takeover is real. So as you go in, going to go down here to chapter 3 of Nahum. Woe to the city of bloodshed. She is completely full of deception and robbery. She is never without prey. There is the crack of the whip and the rattle of wheels, the dashing horse and the bounding chariot, the mounted horseman and the flashing sword and the glittering spear, the multitude of the slain and the heaps of carcasses. There is no end to the dead bodies. They keep stumbling over the dead bodies. Now, you hear the how that is written. And basically, like we said, they're in the city. They're pillaging. People are dead, mounting up all around. You know, they're stumbling over the dead bodies. This is because of the many acts of prostitution, of the prostitute. Now, you know, I was waiting to get to this, because now here it is again, blaming it on the woman and her sexuality and the prostitution. Now, also from the civil, the first prophecies of Mummy Watson, I call this the real Bible, okay? She speaks of temples throughout the lands. Many of women, of course, all to get dedicated to Mommy. And in those temples, you have women who deal with the art of sexual healing. This is for real. This is serious. They give honor up to, you know, certain feminine deities who deal with fertility. You know, so people are coming to the oracles for many different things. And so when you see the patriarchs looking at all these women doing all these great things, that's like foreign to them.
And they also began to rape.
And they also began to rape these women and take the women. So then we have to look at what happened through the many years, or why they call a woman a prostitute. It was the fact that the woman was subjugated to use her sexual powers to get what she wanted and what she needed and under protection. We have to think about that. We have to think about who called the woman a slut, a bitch, a hoe. It was men. Those were men. And then so then you have women doing the same thing. We have to see that we have been in trance for so many years under patriarchy. Anything that the woman is, as my queen mother says, our teacher, our spiritual mama, anything negative that is on the woman, is you could put laid at the feet of patriarchy.
And with that
being said, we going to a song. We'll be right back.
Traveling, it seems alone. Sometimes I want to slip away for a chance to figure out how to live in a better space. What's your reality? The lack of celebration. If your life ain't right, you better take a look and see. How many times and how many ways have you caused your own pain?
Take a look and see how many times. time is time, it's time, it's time. It's time.
For the veil to be lifted. We thank you all for joining us this afternoon. Thank you all for those who have just tuned in to New Black Order Radio. We are talking about the evils of the Bible revealed, and we are going into the book of Nahum, and we're going to go into some other things of the Bible as well, but I want to read this piece from the Sibyls, the first prophetess of Mamuwata. This is a live call-in show at 718-506-1960. Okay, here we go. Oracles, prophecies, and holy maxims. As African civilizations established and maintained their military, political, and cultural predominance in the ancient world, the Sibyls availed themselves to all the world's inhabitants. However, they and their divinities were most comfortable within their own cultural milieu, meaning back to black, sticking to black, you know, our African culture. And the majority of their prophecies and daily ritual activities were originally localized and confined to the African city-states, towns, and villages, where their temples, clan, totems, immediate, and extended families resided. As long as these provinces were not violated or threatened with invasions, the deities, as rule, remain apolitical and focused on the well-being and preservation of their own. However, the oracles and prophecies of the Sibyls were employed and trusted universally as the holy word of the gods and depended upon in all manner of life and sudden travails. So that is from the Sibyls. And it's very true, as we do know, that wherever indigenous people were and still are, they hold fast to their cultures of certain spiritual practices, and that mama love is a universal love. However, it comes from the black. It comes from the great black mother. It comes from her, and is given, passed down to her daughters, from her daughters to their daughters, and so on and so forth. And so that, I wanted to definitely put that in, because it goes with what we're talking about. Our ancestors, our foremothers, were the first to bring this ancient divinity, this divination, to the world, and for it to be taken the way it has been taken and flipped around has caused us much suffering, seriously, and mentally and spiritually.
Yes, for this to be taken and flipped upon us and stripped from us, it does something to the spirit, because the spirit is not home. It is not home, and that's why a lot of us be yearning and be always feel out of place and such. And so many things we go through. The spirit is under attack, has been under attack for so many eons, because that's the war, that's the battle. The battle is to get the spirit on, diminished, depleted, gone. And so we must always invigorate each other with these truths, because hopefully these truths can help you become anew, because only you can make yourself anew. Mm-hmm. And with what you learn in this human experience can help your spirit break free from everything that's keeping it down, everything that's attacking it. Because knowledge is one thing, but to have knowledge, you got to. Knowledge is like a seed. And the flower is the wisdom. And so you got to cultivate that knowledge. You got to let it grow into wisdom as you live on this planet, as you interact with others. Knowledge is key. So this is a key element in us. And while we see religion has done no good, and what we see going on in society will never end, in my opinion, until we become more of a spiritual society. Or that's a pipe dream. But at least in our own homes.
There you go.
Become more spiritual. Become more in tune with the seen and unseen.
Mm-hmm.
And the seen will be Mother Nature and all living around you. And the unseen is the same, you know. It goes like that, so.
The celestial plane.
Celestial plane.
Yes, the universe. So we're going to go just a little bit more into Nahum, because I got some good stuff here we want to look at. So we're in chapter 3, going to start back at verse 4. This is because of the many acts of prostitution of the prostitute, she who is attractive and charming, a mistress of sorceries, who ensnares nations by her prostitution and families by her sorcery. Look, I am against you, declares Jehovah of armies. I will lift your skirts up over your face. I will cause nations to see your nakedness, and kingdoms your disgrace. And I will throw filth on you and make you despicable. I will make a spectacle of you. So they're using the feminine energy. This is how they play games. And in place of this land that they're speaking of, which is the land of Elkosh, because Nahum is an Elkoshite. You know, and that, and so you know that's still feminine either way it goes. They're talking about the woman. They're talking about those who, you know, as they say, worship the woman. And they're talking about showing her nakedness, throwing filth upon her, and making her despicable. What have they done but burn women at the stakes, take women, rape women, sell them up there on the auction block naked? And they were doing this before they hit the shores of America, before they enslaved the people who lived here and brought people over here and enslaved them too. Putting women up naked. They talk about it right here within this book.
This is one of the most violent books of the Bible. This book is one of the most violent books of the Bible.
It's a short one.
It's a short one, but the short ones get right into it. They get right into it. It doesn't have any of this mystical, all-glorious, loving God story in it at all. It is a book of terror. It's a book of war. And as we know, this was what really happens in war. That's why some of the laws of my eye has stated that I have not raped. I have not hurt women and children. I have not stolen someone's food. You know, so many laws. I have not made anyone cry. There's another law of my eye. It's a powerful law right there. When you look at that law, I have not made anyone cry. That holds you accountable to a lot of things with a person or with a group of people. This is what is embodied within our laws of my eye, which is embodied within a woman. But you see how they, within the Bible, go against the feminine free spirit, the feminine unadulterated spirit in tune with nature and everything around her, knowing who she is as a woman and why she is created as such.
Yes, indeed. This is why me as a woman would want more of our brothers who are in certain sects, like the Hebrew Israelites, you know, those who go with Amun-Ra, you know, things of that nature, that they they will see that they are very patriarchal in their stance, and not having a certain respect for women when it comes to spiritual, when it comes to the spiritual realm, when it comes to even the book that they read out of. The Jews do it. Catholics hide it. They kind of mask it a little bit. You know, they put the woman out there, but they still all male running around up in there. You know, not too many, ain't no woman pope. I ain't seen a woman cardinal or bishop. So they just nuns. That's all they is. That's what they have demoted them to, the woman. That they will look at these, that they, you know, they know it. The thing is, they know it. They know a lot of them know a lot more than what they say. But they know it. But they hold fast to, it's like that privilege of patriarchy, of that man stands. And I just want to say to the black man that is out there on that high horse of patriarchy, that you, that's in the movement and liberation and things of that nature, that you're never going to get the total liberation that you so seek if the woman is not put where she needs to be spiritually. Within your inner workings of how y'all run some of y'all organizations. I just want to put that out there, me being a woman, you know, in the movement, you know. This is deep, because we talk liberation, but you don't see it through certain groups when it comes to the woman and where she stands. So this is all part of that. When the man has been sucked into this, because as you go down into the next few verses here, it says that everyone who sees you will flee from you and say Naiva has been devastated. Who will sympathize with her? Where will I find comforters for you? Are you better than Naaman, which sat by the Nile canals? Water surrounded her. Her wealth was the sea, and her wall was the sea. Ethiopia was her source of boundless strength. Also Egypt, Punt, and the Libyans were her helpers. But even she became exiled. So within this, there's talking about another place where many temples were to feminine deities. Another place where matriarchal societies were set up and were thriving and doing very well for themselves. And as you can see, Punt, many know that as the land of Cush, the Cushites, which we know that land today, the Sudan, but it's really ancient Nubia. And so Nubia held fast for a long time, though, but there's other places that did not. She went into captivity. Her children also were dashed to pieces on every street corner. They cast lots over her, honored men. That is what I was wanting to get to. They cast lots over her, honored men. So the men who hold fast to women and respect their mothers, their daughters, their sisters, their aunts, female cousins, females in their family, females all around in the village, they were frowned upon. And this is why you get a certain, this society today, that when men who honor the word of their wives or things like that, and they have a group of male friends, it's always like, oh, you got to do this, or you got to go home, or she got you in some panties, and you know, there's those little male jokes for men who are well honored by the great mother, and the great mother has given them all, has set great kings on thrones, and gave them rule over much land, and gave them great divination. And so those men are now being dishonored and being cast out. And so it says, all her great men have been bound with fetters. You will also become drunk. You will go into hiding. You will seek refuge from the enemy. All your fortifications are like fig trees with the first ripe fruits. I'm going on into verse 13. If they are shaken, they will fall into the mouth of devourers. Look, your troops are like women in your midst. The gates of your land will be wide open for your enemies. Fire will consume the bars of your gates. So, once again, the talk of a siege, the talk of a takeover of this so-called male deity, this God, this Jehovah, that is going to burn this city of a matriarchal rule, and we feel that that is definitely what that is. There is a cover-up because there is too many things that always allude to feminine energy and destroying of the feminine energy in this book, in other books as well. This is deep here. It's something to look at and break the mold on. And so that right there in a nutshell, in the book of Nahum, although it's a short one, will speak of the takeover of certain different areas within the ancient world and burning down the temples of the Great Mother and pillaging the land and raping the women and killing of the men. And so that is the book of Nahum. And we're going to go ahead and play this song a little bit, and we'll be right back because we are a radio station, and that's what we do. We groove and keep everyone in the mood. So we'll be back. New Black Order Radio.
Everyone. Egypt to reside there, and they will all perish in the land of Egypt.
Now, yeah, this is a king.
This ain't no God.
This ain't no God.
This is a God. This is God saying this. You know, this is not God. Why would a God, the creator of all, be saying this to mere man, which he created? Supposedly created.
This is Jeremiah talking.
This is Jeremiah talking. Mm-hmm. And so, and I will take the remnant of Judah who were determined to go to the land of Egypt to reside there, and they will all perish in the land of Egypt. They will fall by the sword and perish by the famine. From the least to the greatest, they will die by the sword and by famine. And they will become a curse, an object of horror and malediction, and a reproach. So, verse 13. I will punish those dwelling in the land of Egypt, just as I punished Jerusalem with the sword, with famine, and with pestilence. See, just going around everywhere with the sword and they sorcery and whatever else they was doing, raping and pillaging. And the remnant of Judah who have gone to reside in the land of Egypt will not escape or survive to return to the land of Judah. They will long to return and dwell there, but they will not return except for a few escapees. Now they fleeing, running out, going into, so why would those certain people run up into, you know, Egypt, as we know today as Kemet? They were running in there because it was on. Everybody got to come together now. It's about to go down. It's about to go down. It's going to be a fight. So, in verse 15, all the men who knew that their wives had been making sacrifices to other gods, and all the wives who were standing there, who formed a large group, and all the people who were living in the land of Egypt, in the Pathros, answered Jeremiah, "We will not listen to the word that you have spoken to us in the name of Jehovah." Now, I like that. I like that because they said to him, back to him, and even in Mama Zabi's book, she talks about how even when Peter or Paul goes up into Corinth and trying to tell them to stop worshiping the mother, and they ran his ass out of there. He ran them right out. They talk about a little bit about he had ran out. They ran him out, but they don't say who really did it. But Mama Zabi tell you who did it. So they go on to tell him, "We will not listen to the word that you have spoken to us in the name of Jehovah. Instead, we will surely carry out every word that our mouths have spoken to make sacrifice to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings to her, just as we, our forefathers, our kings, and our princes did in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. When we were satisfied with bread and were well off, when we saw no calamity at all, when we was giving praise to Mama." Go ahead, King.
No, go ahead.
Oh, you want me to finish up? So that lets you know right there, they checked him. Now, these are our people. Now, this is what we got to know, who our people is. So they checked him and told him, "Now you coming up in here with this, and we've been doing this for years. Our forefathers and foremothers and did this, and we always been well off, and we always have been good, and did not have any of this drama upon us." So, as you go on, say they will surely carry it out, and they will continue. So, verse 18, From the time we quit making sacrifices to the Queen of the Heaven and pouring out drink offerings to her, we have lacked everything and have perished by the sword and by the famine. Verse 19, the women go on to say, "And when we were making sacrifices to the Queen of Heaven and pouring out drink offerings to her, was it without the consent of our husbands that we made sacrificial cakes shaped in her image, and we pour out drink offerings to her?" That the women are telling you, "We didn't need any permission from our husbands to do this. Now you're saying we have to have permission, or You're upset because our men still allow us to do that. We need, you know, that's how we are anyway right now, my sisters. You know, Shahrazad Ali will tell you that the black woman has always been very, it's like that. It's in our DNA, very proud. Most of us getting back to who we used, who we are, knowing we were created to be, put it like that, after going through so much here. And some of us, you know, still, you know, we got that attitude, but it comes naturally. We can learn how to work it, though. But that's how we are. You can't tell, you can't really tell us too much of anything, especially when we're doing right, and we know we're doing right, and it's for the betterment of ourselves and our families. So they had, they said to Jeremiah, oh, please, we didn't need permission, and we're going to continue to do it. So then, in verse 20, then Jeremiah said to all the people, to the men and their wives, and to all the people who were speaking to him, the sacrifices that you, your forefathers, your kings, your princes, and the people of the land made in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, Jehovah remembered them, and they became, and they came up into his heart. Really. Finally, Jehovah could no longer put up with their evil practices and detestable things you had done, and your land became devastated and an object of horror and cursing without an inhabitant as it is today. So they're stating that, well, yes, Jehovah know that they kept doing that too, as your forefathers and foreprinces have done, foremothers, so on and so forth. But he was a little soft on them, but he couldn't no longer take it, and now y'all continuing on with the same thing. So that was just, like we said, a takeover, going through each province, city, states, and villages, taking over, burning temples, and doing what they were doing. It is because of you have made these sacrifices, and because you have sinned against Jehovah by not obeying the voice of Jehovah and following his law, his statutes, and his reminders, that the calamity has come upon you, as is the case today. So he continues to still put this curse over the people about this Jehovah, this thunder God, this thunder deity. And he continues to say that, well, this will happen to you. Well, what it was that strong might of ancient men coming together who no longer needed to seek the advice of women on a spiritual level, seek the advice of an oracle. They did not want to have their every move have to have approval and have to be given divination for them to go to war and do other things, and that they were tired of that rule. And this is how they were able to come together and band together and go to different places. And even with, you can see within, from what Mama Zagbi teaches, what I see is that it was in within certain rankings too, where you would have some of our own that were turning against the matriarchal province. They also did that because, to me, the baby of the planet can't come in to the house of no black man, the first man on the planet, strong man on the planet, and tell him what to do. That simply, in those days we're talking, I'll go to Moses a little bit when they were going with that sorcery back and forth with each other. You know, so, you know, that's just the thing. Those are the type of things that was going on if you look at it on an esoteric level when it comes to that. So you can see that the women are making the sacrifices. As far as when they talk about sacrifices, it's probably merely putting offerings out to the ancestors. You know, we do it. Oshun, on Fridays, we put out the honey, the gold flakes, the wine, the water, and we pour the libation, and you know, we burn the sage and do the incense.
Do all types of stuff.
We do all types of things. If they like certain stuff, we'll cook it and eat it, you know, and offer it to them, you know, as well. You know, it's just what we do. That's what they mean by that. They talking about these blood sacrifices and all this different stuff. That's some evil stuff they done put on it. And so when you look at that, we just wanted to come from Jeremiah 44 just to give you a clear takeover of the great mother in the land of the blacks. So that is deep right there. We had a good time on this show this afternoon. It's been good and good to be back here on this Sunday afternoon. We're so happy that many of you joined us through your computers or listening through on your telephones. Share the tags on Facebook. We appreciate that. It is always an honor to come on and share what has been given to us to share.
So, yes, 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 indeed. Once again, this is our Sunday show. We'll be back in about 2 weeks to do another one. If we can, it'll be shorter. Quicker than 2 weeks, but we know 2 weeks. But we really appreciate all of y'all for tuning in. We black love y'all for life. If y'all have any family and friends that's on the fence about religion, on the fence about spirituality, let them listen to this show. Let them know that the woman is heaven, and especially this song right here, let them know where the woman is. And we'll see y'all next time. Peace and black love and black power unto you all.
Trying to find the heaven, yeah. in you.